This is What Book Hooked You. I'm Brock Shelley, and thanks for listening. On this week's episode, I talk to debut author Zoe Hanum-Kuta, whose new book, Gearbreakers, is out now. And this episode was great talking to Zoe. We get into, what inspired Gearbreakers and how she came to writing. Great conversation. So I hope you enjoy it. Listen in. So Zoe, what book hooked you?
I would have to go with the Maximum Ride series. I read the series multiple times in middle school, just over and over again, basically. I love the main character and like the supernatural powers. It's kind of like, gimmicky, but I was really into all the tropes that came up. But it also, like, most importantly, it kicked off my love for the found family trope. You have Max and her flock, and I love the dynamic of like her kind of having to act as like this mother figure, but she also like threatens them to show affection. Is something I found like really entertaining. I also feel like embedded in the found family trope are like these stakes where it's like the fate of the world versus the fates of the people you love, and having to weigh one against the other. Like that dilemma feels like a very classic introspection of humanity, so to speak.
Sure.
So the good of the whole weighed against like the people you find good in, I guess you would say. It's just something that's definitely what carried with me from those books. I don't remember any plot points, but I just remember like how they all acted toward each other. And just like, I don't know. I think I don't know if I would like these books now even, but like it's just like very warm space in my mind. It's like their little family. Definitely what hovered.
So with the Maximum Ride, so that's James Patterson, obviously this massive, like adult kind of thriller. Did you have any sense of that when you first came to these books, like who James Patterson was, and that he was like this bigger writer that was just kind of, this was like his kind of pet project to the side almost?
Right. I did not. I haven't read anything else by him, but I knew the name by name only, I guess you would say. I've also heard over the years that this was ghostwritten, so I like don't even know where to put that. I've seen a lot of jokes on the internet. It's like, doesn't know any of the names or something like that.
Right, and it's possible.
That would have been true. Yeah.
And he, I think they even released like an updated version. It was called like Hawk, like bringing the whole series back to life. Cause they sent me like an early copy that just had a bunch of like feathers in with it. It was really strange.
What? I didn't know that.
These were like a big part of, you said how you read them over and over again. Were you a big reader as a kid? Was there something special about Maximum Ride that kind of got you hooked on reading, or were you reading just generally a lot as a young person when you were little?
I would definitely up until maybe, I don't know, like first year of high school definitely fell off. But before that, I was reading all the time. And it would be this thing where I if I really liked the series, I would when I was finished, I would read a couple other things, and then I would always circle back to it. So if I liked it, it was in the rotation. So alongside Maximum Ride, there was the Gone series.
Sure.
The Chemical Garden trilogy I was really into, a couple of standalones, but I would, for some reason, I think about this a lot now, and I'm I was like, can I do that now? Because every time I finish a book, I'm like, okay, it's done, and I'm probably not going to pick it up again. And I don't think it's the quality of the book, it's just my attention span.
Sure.
Very, very, much higher in middle school, apparently, for sitting down and just doing the same story over and over again. I'm sure it's a comfort thing too.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, with reading as much as you did in middle school, was that the time you kind of first got the ideas that maybe you would want to become a writer, or when did that thoughts first kind of enter your head?
Oh, let's see. I've always wanted to be a writer just because I really did grow up just reading all the time. And it's I don't know. It's like there's just like a lot of good I feel can be done with it. And that, of course, wasn't like the initial drive. I was a very little child. But I don't know. It's definitely like I could recognize how like I was comforted by what I was reading. And I like felt, I don't know. It was just like, I don't know. I wanted to contribute, I think, in that way. And not even like for other people on like a public publishing path, even just like something for me, I think was really important. Just, it was just like what I like to do. I was like, this is the only thing that like makes me feel like I'm, I don't know. It was like a taking care of myself almost. Sure.
And what form did that take? Like what were you writing? What were the kind of the themes or the plot points that you were commonly kind of exploring when you were setting off to do this?
Oh, well, like definitely like I was, trying to go the full length stuff almost right away. Like in seventh grade, I started this, like it was like a, I love the dystopian. That's like probably my favorite subgenre. So I started like this dystopian, and it was like zombie apocalypse or something. And I like queried it when I was like a sophomore in high school, like the first thing I've ever done all the way through. And it's like absolutely terrible. It was like a monolith. It was like 170,000 words or something ridiculous. And I don't even think I like edited it. I think I like finished it and then like tried to send it off. It like did not work. But what was important is that I sat down and finished something, I realized later on. But yeah, definitely dystopian is like where I was like having the most fun with it. Like the fun, the amusement I get from it is definitely very important to me, I think.
And so when you were kind of, was it like, what books do you think modeled, were you modeling yourself after? And as far as like with dystopian and that kind of being where your interest was it, was there a book or a series that really put that there for you? Was it more Maximum Ride or the Gone series? Or was there another series or book that really said, you know, this is kind of the story I would want my book to sit on the shelf beside that book?
Right. Definitely like all of the titles I mentioned, like definitely played a role. Cause I think it was just like the very high stakes of it. Like the, just the stakes are really important. I feel like that's like really what gets my blood going. Like what I really like to write or thought I would like to write and read. Definitely Hunger Games, like the classic. Maybe that's a series I should read. I'm like sitting here thinking about it. But why specifically, for some reason, even now, I feel like it's more character focused than they don't spend as much time like going really hard into the world building, which, you know, is definitely very important. But I love when it's character centric, despite it being this like massive world stakes. I think it's the best part of reading. Like I could have like a plot that's like, I could be reading a plot that's just like so dry, but like if the character's bright, I'm there.
Great. And so you had this first book sophomore year sending out. What happened after that book? Like, did you already start on the next thing? Were you driven with this one book and you sent it out maybe longer than you should have? Like, what was the next step after that book?
Oh, let's see. I sent it out and I got like maybe one partial request. So it was pretty low key, but then I got caught up with school. And then I think it was like senior year, second semester, I just like got this idea in my head of like robots. And like for a while, like ever since Pacific Rim came out, like my favorite sci-fi trope is the mechas. It has to be the mechas. And I can't remember specifically, like, I think it was my senior year, because I was sending out college applications and I was like rewatching Pacific Rim because it's like my comfort movie.
Sure.
But it was definitely like because I was watching that movie on a repeat where I was just like, this would be like a blast to write. And it's like, I don't know. It kind of all evolved from like this one image in my head where I had of like, I don't know, just like people inside robots. It's just like this one specific scene in Pacific Rim where they're like standing in the head and they're like gearing up, like that just stuck with me. I was like, this could be cool. and sit down and write it.
So you're obviously talking about your debut, Gear Breakers. So we'll jump into that and first start off by kind of summarizing, give me the synopsis of what the book's about.
Gear Breakers, it's a YA sci-fi about these renegades who must hunt down these 200-foot mecha deities in the desert in order to protect their home and one another. So these renegades are called Gear Breakers, and in the midst of this cyberpunk war between the mechas and the Gear Breakers, Eris, who is one of these renegades, meets Sona, who is a cybernetically enhanced mecha pilot on the other side. So they're on opposite sides of this war. And when they meet, Eris believes that like Sona must be her mortal enemy, whereas Sona has actually infiltrated the mecha pilot program in order to take down this corrupt nation from the inside out. So in discovering these loyalties, Sona and Eris become allies and then friends, and then they fall in love. And it's, of course, like this whole, their whole romantic arc is on, is backlit, right, by this terrible war that's going on. And Eris's crew is also a bunch of kids, and they're all a bunch of kids, and they're kind of like, they're just like placed in these lives, right? And they're like, we can't leave because this is like just where we ended up existing, basically. So sure. It's like a lot on their shoulders. I really tried to play with that, where it's like you like cannot choose the sides that you're you can't choose the sides that you're born on, or like the dogmas you're raised on. But what's important to break that mold is to think about, it's just like to have empathy, to realize like that's the same exact issue that's on the other side.
And so with that, with what you're saying there, and with the initial idea being inspired by Pacific Rim, and then with what you're talking there, how did you find that? So you had kind of the backdrop of these mechs and the battles, but where in all of that did you discover this kind of enemies to lovers, that whole aspect of the story that really ends up driving it at the end?
Right. Yeah, definitely. When I first had the idea, it was just going to be from the perspective of the Gear Breakers. And for some reason, I was like, I don't know, like it seems like too easy, almost like I don't, like when I was reading YA, like growing up, I was always like, oh, it seems very one-sided, which is why I've always loved like the enemies to friends or enemies to lovers trope, is because, I don't know, I feel like there's more room for a character development for one from the place of the writer. But definitely started with just the Gear Breakers side. And then I don't know, I wanted a love story, and I wanted that enemies to lovers trope. And then Sona just came in my head. And I think, I don't know, I like how it worked out. I've definitely like sat back and thought about like, I don't know how I don't have any process of how I come up with it. I just kind of start writing. This isn't like the original question, but I just kind of go. I never ever have an outline, and I really should, because my first drafts are always just like a mess, but I can't figure out like where I'm going until I start. It's just how it works right now. We'll see about the future.
So well, then going off of that, when you started with Gear Breakers, you mentioned how it was around the time that you were applying to colleges. So like, when was the real meat of this book written? Like, what was it when you were in college? Was it the summer before? How did it all kind of pan out?
It was the second semester of my senior year. So like January to April, 2018. I remember that, right? Like before I graduated high school was when I wrote the first draft. I remember I had like fifth period lunch off, and none of my friends had the same lunch period. So I would go to the library. We had a beautiful library at my high school. I would just sit. I remember the one stool I would sit at and just be writing. And I would get really mad when people would come up to me. I'm like, I'm obviously busy. It's so dramatic doing stuff. But that's definitely where the bulk of it was written, was at that library. Definitely at home too, always writing in my bed. but that was my routine.
And were you, did your friends, did other people know that like this is what you were doing when you were going to the library or at home?
No, I think like, you know, when someone's writing, but I didn't tell anyone until I got my agent. And then I like told my parents like separately because they're separated, but they were both like, they kind of got like, I just remember the look of fear on their face when I was like, I have to tell you something. So they're like, oh my God, it's going to be bad kind of thing. I was like, I've given you no reason to mistrust me. But it was like, just that, oh, I signed with this agent. Because I wrote a book. They're like, oh, okay. Like they totally thought I was getting scammed. I was like, maybe I'm getting scammed. Like they were worried. I was worried. It worked out.
I can see that though. I understand that. So you're writing in the library or at home, like with the first book being this massive 175,000 word story, were you able to kind of rein it in? And did it, this book, I don't know how to put it. Did it feel like something? Did it feel like, you know, this might, this is good. It might be something that someone else would want to publish. Did you kind of have any sort of feeling, or were you really kind of unsure on the whole process until you were able to get it out to the world?
I would say like, definitely like when I wrote that first, like just terrible, terrible, messy manuscript. I still love it. I need to find and dig it up. But definitely when I wrote that first project, I was like really sure. I was like, you know, people like, I have no doubts kind of thing, which I think is good to go into the querying process with wild confidence, because otherwise it's kind of sad. But definitely when I finished Gearbreakers, I was able to like take a step back and compare. And I was like, this is like, I don't know. It was just so much cleaner. I could really feel like my voice leaning in. Like even with Gearbreakers and writing, I've currently written the second Gearbreakers and then the third book. And I can definitely see like the progression of my, just like my individual voice as a writer. It's really, I don't know. It's really leaned in. Like I know people will read Gearbreakers and it'll be like a lot different, I think, from anything else I've written, I'll put out there, just because I'm progressing, which is such a relief. Good. Of course.
Yeah. And so when Gearbreakers was done, or that first draft, or however we want to kind of map it out, what was your process? You mentioned how with the other one, you said the end and you started sending it out. With this one, was there more of a revision process? Did you have any sort of anybody that you could give it to give feedback on, or did, you know, what, and then what was it like once you were sending it off to agents, that experience?
Let's see. I finished around April, just like the full first draft. And then I was, what was I doing? I think I read it a couple of times and like did those kind of line edits. I might've moved, definitely refined it a little bit. It was still quite messy when I sent it out, and I didn't realize until I had actually landed an agent, which is lucky because she was very on the editorial side of things. So definitely like, I would say like the greatest change was between when I signed with my agent and like before we sent it out to publishers. Like she was definitely like a huge help, like cleaning up, just making just like the plot tighter. That's definitely a problem I have, where I like go on these like emotional tangents in the writing, and it's like less important than what's going on. Like still important, but like just I need to pick my moments is what she really helped me with.
And so when you sold this book, where were you in life? Because you were writing this mainly your senior year of high school. So when it finally, you know, you get your agent, it gets sold, were you in college at that point? Was it your first year?
Yeah, I remember this really specifically, actually, where it's like first year of college, we sent out, we started, we went out on sub with Gearbreakers November 2018, and I got an offer April 2019, which is like a week before my 19th birthday. And I just remember I was on the bed of my dorm, and my roommate wasn't there because she was like, she's just not there most nights, but I was glad because my agent called. She's like, we have an offer. I remember just like bawling, and I like, didn't even mean to. I was just really happy, and then I was crying, and she was like, "Don't cry, don't cry." But I was late for class. But I was more late for class because I was like, "I'm gonna go get myself a coffee to treat myself to make myself even later for class." It's just like that's what I remember. But yeah, it was April 2019. Time's weird. It's been a while.
Especially, all of 2020 doesn't seem like it existed, really.
Really.
And then, so not only does it get sold to a publisher, but then the book, it's over. It was optioned. Was it fairly soon after, or what was the timeline on that? You know, the book getting picked up by a publisher, but then also getting optioned out.
I think it was like maybe 6 or 7 months. It might have been the next year. I'm trying to remember. It was definitely like sometime after, and I hadn't heard anything for a while, and I was basically just like in this waiting period, waiting for it to publish. But that, I still don't know where to put like the fact that the film rights have been optioned in my head. Like, it's definitely not the basket I'm putting all my eggs in. But I don't know. I think about me and my family, like our number one thing is to go to the movies together, and like the big monster movies and the big actions, like that's like the golden ticket for all of us. So it's like, I don't know. I do fantasize about it in my head, like going to a premiere and like seeing, I don't know, just like something that was in my head on the screen. It was my mind, but then my mind goes blank because I'm like, I can't even picture that. Sure. It's weird.
I understand. That makes a lot of sense. So with all this happening, like right in that first year of college, and college, I don't need to tell you, was all that, especially that first year, is such like a whirlwind of just like your life, like completely like doing like a 180. What, you know, what was it kind of like to, you know, having this kind of college, they call it like the first taste of like adulthood, and then like already having been gotten your foot in the door in the publishing world while still trying to like make it to class on time and things like that?
Honestly, it's very, I feel like I don't handle it as, I wouldn't say as well as I should. That makes me sound, I don't know, ungrateful. And I'm not. It's just like, it was just weird because, you know, I got the call contract and I just went to class afterward, and that's what happened for the rest of the year. It's definitely like due to the fact that I've, for a year and a half, like now things are picking up. Mm-hmm. But for basically the past year and a half, I've just been waiting. So it's like almost like a stationary period. I think I would have a better answer for you after like the book publishes. And also because my school is also doing publicity stuff with me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if like people will know me in my classes. Like I don't know where to put that. I haven't told anyone in any of my classes. It's just something I don't bring up. But yeah, I don't know. I remember when I was physically going to classes, I would go to my creative writing lectures and I would sit there and just like forget like where I was basically with my career, because I'm having so much fun in the academia of it. Yeah, but I'm basically, maybe it's just like disassociation.
Sure.
I really don't even.
Yeah, it's like two different lives.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess. Like when it becomes like real and it's a real thing I can hold in my hand and point out to people in bookstores, like maybe my attitude about it will change. But for now, it's like, I don't know. It's pretty separate almost because it hasn't like, I guess because it hasn't started yet, but we'll see about the fall. I don't know where I will be.
And just to those listening, we're recording this in the middle of May, and the book, when this comes out, the book will have just come out. This will come out the Thursday after the book comes out. So we're still 2 months out, almost a little less from when everything will start happening. But with that, like, so you pretty much had Gear Breakers done more or less, although you did probably have to do some work on it, and you have the sequel and there's another one. What has it been like to, you know, be a college student while also trying to write books? So you're writing papers, going to class, living a college life while also having to, you almost have like a job almost that you have like deadlines to meet on top of like term paper deadlines and project deadlines, things like that.
Yeah, it was definitely something I have to balance. It was easier in person, of course, because I we have a beautiful library. And basically when I go to like a public place and other people are working, I really am very, very productive. I'm less good at checking myself when I'm alone. But that's that was my regular routine, is that I would schedule out time to go to the library and just like get my stuff done. And I think like I'm pretty fast at writing papers, actually. I think also like not even like the book deal, but just like how I've grown in college, maybe because of just my writing and just being able to lean on that. I don't know. I take the school stuff less seriously, and maybe that's not good, but I feel like I'm getting a lot more out of it when I'm not so like wrecked over grades. Like I definitely was in high school. So I don't think it's like even a thing where it's like my career is like good and started. It's more like because I was writing, I'm able to like chill out about it. Like, so it also helps because writing is definitely like my downtime. So it doesn't feel like work. It just feels like something I like to do. So it's like I would go write my term paper and like de-stress by drafting. Editing is different. Editing is more stressful, but when I was drafting, I'm all good.
And then on top of all of it, is there a lot of room for kind of personal reading time? And if so, what type of books do you find yourself most gravitating to when you can kind of carve out that time for just reading for pleasure, essentially?
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to carve out. I need to do more, but definitely have kept up my reading. Definitely fell out in high school, but now it's like, it's research also is what I'm like, is what really motivates me to like pick up a book. Even though it never feels like work, but like just get just that action of picking it up and stopping whatever I'm doing and like being focused on the one thing. I would say I'm definitely, like I said earlier, like high stakes, emotional or world otherwise. Definitely like the Poppy War series. It's like so like brutal. So like definitely like high fantasy. I'm still in the YA sphere. I've actually softened a little more in my YA taste, where I'm like more leaning toward contemporary. I think it's because people I know, mostly from Twitter and stuff, like my author friends, they are writing contemporary, and it's just also, I don't know, it like that's almost less dire, but definitely a de-stress. So I have to be reading, like if I read something really high stakes, I have to read a contemporary after. I gotta calm myself down a little bit, I think. So my tastes are really varied, I would say.
And since you're kind of the books you're drawn to writing are the science fiction fantasy category genre, is there a book or a category or a genre that you look at and you are kind of, I'll say, in awe of, in that you can't imagine being able to write within that category or genre? Because like science fiction fantasy is one where a lot of people say like I can't understand it, like creating the worlds and the magic and whatever the case may be. Is there another category genre where you kind of are maybe mystified by it, or you think it would be like a real struggle if you were forced to write in that genre?
Right. I think I would maybe only say historical. I can't, I don't know, it's really cool, but I just don't think I have the head for it. But I actually like, I'm really into like the genre blend recently. So like Gearbreakers is like pretty solid sci-fi, but this new book I wrote was last year, it's my third hopefully, it's like fantasy horror, and I was just like something I really wanted to blend. Love those fantasy horror games too, so kind of like that tonage. But like I said, I'm also leaning into contemporary more, and I'm planning for my next book, which is my fourth one, to be more like contemporary sci-fi. And I like I basically want to dabble in everything.
Awesome.
Maybe historical fantasy way down the line, but I don't know, I just want to try it out. And every time I like write a new genre, which I guess it was just this one this past year, with the fantasy horror, but it's just fun. It's just a blast. And I think my technique changes with it, and I'm kind of interested to like just try it out, I suppose.
Awesome. And when you're kind of exploring those different genres or things like that, do you find that you're really like you kind of fill your writer bank in that you're reading a lot of books that would be similar or were in those different genres to kind of, I don't know, just kind of get inspiration from or get some sort of sense of where you want to go with your story?
Yeah, definitely. Like because I do want to dabble in contemporary, so I'll, but I'm in the headspace of that really high like speculative fiction world, and I didn't realize that until I tried to sit down and churn out a few chapters of the contemporary sci-fi I have in my head, and I was like, wow, I'm like going very, I'm trying to think of the right word for it. I'm just going too hard with it, I guess you would say. So I was like, it's not that dire. It's like contemporary. It's like it's supposed to be like a fun spin. And I like will go wander around my room and like open up contemporary books and like flip the pages to be like, I just need to like settle into the tone more.
Sure.
But yeah, definitely I'll just with this recent project, I was like, I think I need to just like put it down. I had another deadline I had to meet. So I was like, I'll put it down and see like how. If I can just like turn it out again in a month, try it out. Because I think sometimes I just need to like, I need to be in the right headspace to write specific books. And I didn't realize this until I started writing more than one and like being on deadline. Because I was like, wow, like it's very like I write very quickly, and I guess it's just attributed to like the mood of the season. I have to match it, I guess, to the tone of the book. So we'll see about summer for contemporary.
Very good. Well, let's wind down. And as we do, I'll ask you a few questions. The first one being, what is your favorite movie that's based on a book?
I would have to say 100% Holes. I was
Okay.
who is it written by? I'm not sure.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I do
I
know.
don't know. No, I don't know either.
We'll cut this part out of us not
No,
knowing.
wait. I have no idea.
It is, I just Googled it, but it's not showing me. Oh, Louis, is it? Why can't I even say his name? Louis Sinkar? Here. I don't think I've ever said his name out loud, so maybe that's why I can't say it. That.
Yeah, but definitely Holes by Louis Sinkar, like the perfect book to movie adaptation, hands down. I like it's almost per I'm trying to remember like an inconsistency between the book and the movie, but it's literally I it's probably the book serves as a good medium, but I feel like I don't know, directors always take the creative route to change it. But they don't need to, and it was just perfect. I think about this all the time. Like, I cannot think of anything that tops it.
I think I definitely agree because it's definitely one of those that, like, when I first read it and sort of imagined the story in my head, like, that's exactly what was on the screen. Like,
Right? Like,
the drive, the digging the holes, the whole thing was
yeah,
like perfect.
you got
So,
it.
definitely. Next question then. Is there a book or a series you're willing to admit you've either never read or never finished?
Yeah, I've actually never picked up anything by Cassandra Clare, like the Shadowhunters or the Mortal Instruments series. I think they're the same thing. I'm not sure because I don't know. But I think I just missed the hype on it. And now like if I've thought about picking it up so many times and I'll look it up on Goodreads, I'm like, I don't even know where to start. Like there's so
There's
many books. But I don't know. I might have to at some point just because everyone's in on the
Yeah.
big secret or whatever. I don't
It's
know what's going on.
and it's big. It's big.
Yeah.
Like, and then finally, what is the last great book that you've read?
I would have to say Mexican Gothic by Silvia Moreno Garcia. I read this recently. I was out of town with my aunt and we were staying at this just like this house in the woods she had rented for spring break for her kids. And it was like the perfect setting to read this in. I would like sit outside and like just freak myself out when it started to get like just like when the light started to go out of the sky and I'm just reading Mexican Gothic and getting all like EBGBs. So, but that was so good because I don't know. I was like really expecting every time I pick up, but like something with a darker tone, I'm always like, I'm not gonna get into it as quickly. But this just sucked me in. I was like, and it turns so fast. I don't know if you've read this book, but like,
I have not. Yeah.
This it deteriorates so quickly when it starts. When it, as soon as it starts, everything just crumbles, and I loved it. I was like, can't stop reading because I don't know what's going on. It keeps getting worse. It's wonderful.
Great. Well, Zoe, Gearbreakers, to our audience listening to this, is out now. Congratulations, and we can't wait for the second and third book you have coming down the line for us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
And that does it for this episode. I want to thank Zoe for joining me. Again, check out her debut, Gearbreakers, that is out now. Hope you also check out some of the other great episodes we have with debut and veteran middle grade NYA authors. I'm Brock Shelley, and until next time, keep reading.